You're listening to Keeping Track, the official podcast of the Australian Grand Prix. In this week's episode, 1987 world champion Wayne Gardner joins us on the line from Spain, and we review the first half of the MotoGP season with Network 10's Greg Rust. There's all that and more on Keeping Track, the official podcast of the Australian Grand Prix.
You're listening to episode 24 of Keeping Track, the official podcast of the Australian Grand Prix. Matt Clayton with you for this week's show as we start the build-up to the Australian Motorcycle Grand Prix at Phillip Island from October 18 to 20. In the next half hour, we'll chat to 1987 world champion Wayne Gardner, and we'll also have a chat to Network 10's Greg Rust. In the meantime, my co-host for this show and all of our podcasts between now and Phillip Island is well-known two-wheel writer and editor, and a man who's just done 222 kilometres an hour on the drag strip at Willowbank Raceway, Mark Fattore. Explain yourself, please.
Suzuki Hayabusa launch, a big 1300cc production bike. They just let us loose for an afternoon at Willowbank, so we had fun. So this I finished third in the Journo Challenge.
So you will be applying for a wildcard for Phillip Island, will you?
Could be, with that sort of top speed. Phillip Island, yeah, probably going to nudge another 100 kilometres an hour down the top, down the chute at Phillip Island, but all good fun.
Let's talk about some real bike riders, shall we? We're halfway through the MotoGP season after round 9 was held at Laguna Seca a week ago. And to help us make sense of the season so far and look at all the big stories that will make the headlines from here on is Network 10's MotoGP host, Greg Rust. G'day, Rusty.
Boys, g'day, and I'm glad you're confident that I can make sense of it all.
Well, someone's got to. No one else is getting any knowledge from us two on this podcast, so we thought we'd phone you. But let's start at the top of the championship standings and Marc Márquez. Now, we knew this kid was pretty special after what he'd done in the 125s and Moto2, but to be on top of the championship standings at the halfway mark and the way he's ridden as much as the results that he's had, did you see this coming in any way, shape or form?
I think everyone's kind of tried to look at other rookies that have come into the Premier class and how they've performed. I mean, if you look at the greatest, Rossi, I mean, he had a year of kind of settling in, really finding his feet, having some success, though. But then the second year was about, you know, winning the championship. And I think most figured it would kind of be a similar sort of process. But now we're going back through the record books, aren't we? And we're looking at, you know, at legends like Kenny Sr. and trying to compare Márquez to him and how Kenny went in his rookie year and so on. But three pole positions. I mean, the first coming at round 2 in Texas. Three victories. Of course, he won the second round of the championship, a win in Germany, and the last time out at Laguna Seca. No matter what he achieves in 2013, he's made a huge impression. And to carry, as he does now, a 16-point lead into the break, that is mega, boys. This is a huge story.
You mentioned Kenny Roberts Sr. before. Now, we forget, of course, he's 26 when he came over to Europe. He was already a man, frankly, and, you know, he'd done his winning in the US. Marc Márquez, if you spotted him in a school lineup of grade 9 students, he wouldn't look out of place, yet he's riding the bike a way that we've never really seen someone ride a MotoGP bike before.
And he's making, you know, seasoned competitors, seasoned sort of experts and analysts really raise their eyebrows because he's doing some incredible things. He just has a deft touch with the motorcycle. He might be small in stature, as you mentioned there at the beginning of the question, but the way he throws the MotoGP bike around is spectacular, and there was no greater example of that than at the corkscrew on Rossi, a la the same move that Rossi pulled on Casey Stoner back in 2008 at Laguna. And to see the respect between Rossi and Marc Márquez post the race, I just thought that was remarkable. I mean, he's got an incredible feeling for the bike, and he's destined, I think, to do some big things in this sport.
Rusty, we'll move on to the walking wounded now, we've called them, the two Spaniards, Lorenzo and Pedrosa. They've been brave, but it's been hard for them the last couple of rounds. This mid-season break has come at a beautiful time for them, hasn't it?
Well, it has, and I mean, Mark, you make a good point, particularly for Pedrosa, who looks even more heroic now riding at Laguna. He gave serious consideration to sitting out the race. When he got back to Europe, he underwent a 3D CT scan, which revealed the greater extent of the collarbone fracture in his injured shoulder. Fortunately, there's no need for surgery. But you're right, he and the world champion Jorge Lorenzo will really need this break. I just have massive respect for both of them, but particularly for Lorenzo and what he's done in recent races. I mean, to go away and come back at the Dutch TT and contest the race, and then the crash at the following round at in Germany. We knew this guy was good, both as a youngster and what he's achieved already in MotoGP. But I just have a new level of respect for the guy. I think he, you know, I've always believed that the real heroes of motorsport are in the two-wheel side of things, and certainly MotoGP is the greatest example of that. And you can just underscore it with this bloke in the way that he's jumped back up on the bike in recent weeks has been remarkable.
I was talking to Daryl Beattie about this on Melbourne Radio a couple of weeks ago, Rusty, and Daryl was actually speechless when Lorenzo came back at Assen to race. And as you know from working with him, it's not often that Daryl's speechless. But moving swiftly along, he's Jorge Lorenzo's teammate in Valentino Rossi. It's been great for the sport to see him back up the front again. I think everyone watched Assen with a big smile on their face. Do you think there's another championship in there, or is he not quite the same Rossi that we saw, say, in 2010, the last time he was on a real race-winning bike?
It's a really interesting question, and it's one that, you know, is difficult to answer. I mean, Daryl endeavoured to discuss this on air the other night, and invariably it upsets some of the fans, and that's not what Daryl or you know, our team are trying to do. I think what Daryl's saying is he's definitely got wins in him on the day. There's no doubt about that. But you look at the quality of the youngsters, the likes of Marquez that we spoke about earlier in the interview, and when they're injury free, Pedrosa and certainly Lorenzo, it is very hard week in, week out for him to win against those guys. They are just that good. But I think it was fantastic for the championship. We know what a great character he is. We know how long it had been. It had been a couple of years since Rossi had been on the top step of the dais there, and to see him do that at the Dutch TT. And then since then, boys, too, I mean, he's had four podiums this season, since the Dutch round, of course, a succession of them. I think it's fantastic, and more may that continue.
Rusty, the team that Rossi left at the end of last year, Ducati, it is labouring again this year. What's going to be the circuit breaker to get Ducati back on track? Is it changing the riders, change of personnel, completely change your bike? What's the remedy?
Well, I think it's a little of everything that you've just said there, Mark. I mean, I think losing Nicky is a tough one from the heart, because he's a good guy. We know that Ducati are trying to somehow keep him in the family. It might be in Superbike or whatever, but they need to do something. And I don't think, to be fair, just changing someone like Hayden is going to solve all of their issues. They need a quality rider that can come in and sort the bike. But it's got to be the behind-the-scenes stuff, the way they build the bike, the team of people there. You know, Rossi and the crew that came over and had two very solid years, I mean, that's an incredible brains trust of people. And even they were unable to sort it. And I think in all of that, it has made what Casey Stoner achieved with them just look Herculean. I mean, he will forever be remembered by the Ducati family for his achievements, because everyone that followed him was never able to achieve what he did on the bike. And I think that is down in many respects to Casey's incredible raw talent.
Just on riding personnel, if obviously Nicky Hayden moves on, Cal Crutchlow, you know, his name's bandied about. He's obviously his name's been thrown about in a number of factory circles. Could he be the panacea for Ducati? As you said, it's not an easy thing, but he's definitely got class and form on his side.
Well, I think some reports are saying that he's been speaking with up to five different teams, and not all of them, Mark, in MotoGP. Is he the solution? There are times where we're frustrated when you know, Cal has crashed on a great many occasions this year, but you know, we were delighted when he got that breakthrough pole position at the Dutch TT. That was phenomenal. It seems he's tantalisingly close to a win. That said, you know, Laguna was one of his toughest rounds in 12 months. I think you've got to go back to Germany last year to get a result as bad as, you know, his weekend at Laguna. But he openly admitted he'd had a tough one there. Is he the solution on his own? No. He'd certainly bring a lot of speed there. But I think it's other things in the background that they need to do to get the bike right. Yes, bringing in a good rider, that will help, but that's not to suggest that Nicky's a dud, far from it. I think it's more to do with the background stuff they need to get right, the ingredients they need to get right to sort the problems there.
Rusty, stay on the line. We're just going to take a quick break and we'll come back with more of Keeping Track.
With less than 80 days to go until the 2013 Australian Motorcycle Grand Prix and the World Championship well and truly alive, now is your chance to secure your place in Victoria's largest regional events. Whatever budget you're on, there's a ticket option for you. Visit MotoGP.com.au to book now. This is Keeping Track, the official podcast of the Australian GP.
You're back with Keeping Track, and we have Network 10 MotoGP host Greg Rust still on the line. Rusty, wanted to ask you about Casey Stoner. We know he's doing 4 days of testing for Honda at Motegi in the next few months. Where do you see this going with Casey? Do you think there could be a comeback on the cards, or perhaps a couple of wild cards in the offing?
One of my colleagues said to me the other day, boys, have you noticed quite often when he says that he's not going to do something or when the group of people around him say that, often it ends up being the case. You know, he said, no, I'm not retiring from MotoGP. And within a few weeks, of course, his retirement announcement happened. It was a similar kind of scenario about everyone trying to join the dots that he was moving to V8 Supercar. The sad thing is at the moment, I think the great unsaid is that he's clearly unhappy there, as you said. I don't know why. My gut feeling is that he's in a good car and there's a great group of people around him there. It's not that. I think it's that the bloke just needs a break. I mean, he's had to move from Europe, relocate back to Australia. There's been a bit of, you know, backwards and forwards stuff with that. In the meantime, he's been right in the spotlight with V8 Supercar. He might only be contesting the second-tier series, and on paper we'd think, oh, that's a great place to learn. But the spotlight that's been on him has been huge. There's been all kinds of commitments associated with that, and I think he just needs a break. And for me, the greatest, of where he's at in this whole V8 program, talk recently that he won't be doing Sandown and Bathurst, which is a shame. I think it'd be great for him to go with a lesser team in the paddock, get some experience at Sandown and Bathurst, and who knows. It's not an easy thing. It'd be like us blokes stepping out of the media and saying we're going to do accountancy and then trying to work for one of the big firms straight away. I mean, it is that diametrically opposed, leaving MotoGP to try and contest V8 Supercar. I still hope he keeps a bit of passion for it. My personal feeling is that he has a huge amount of IP that he's going to bring to these tests. I think he's doing four that he's scheduled for with HRC, the 2013 bike, the 2014 bike. I want him to look at their production racer as well. He'll bring a wealth of experience to that. And the great thing for Casey, he can just ride the bike. He misses being on the bike. I think that'll be a good thing for him. Will it translate to racing GPs? My heart says I'd love to see him contest a few next year, even if it was just a handful that he cherry-picked. But my head says that's very unlikely.
Interesting to see how he goes in the test next week. Just moving to Moto 2, Rusty. It's been a season where Scott Redding and Pol Espargaro have pretty well dominated the championship. Scott got the jump. Now Pol's coming back with a wet sail. How do you see that championship panning out? I think Redding holds a 23-point lead, but it's been chipped away beautifully by Espargaro. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, it's chipped away is the perfect description. It's dwindled, hasn't it, in the last few races. I mean, Pol's an incredible talent. We know that. I think Scott is going to have to use this break to regather and to go another level. That's a good team that he's got there with him. But I think that's going to make it super exciting by the time we get to Phillip Island, boys, because I think the championship will close right up. I don't think it is going to necessarily sway back in Scott's favour immediately. And Espargaro is just an enormous talent. And I think we're in for some cracking races in that category, that's for sure.
And Rusty, just before we let you go, we thought we'd have a quick chat about Moto3 as well. I think if you were preparing the national anthems for Phillip Island, you better have the Spanish track in your armoury there. 23 of the 24 podiums so far by Spanish riders. You can get bonus points if you can name the other one. What's caught your eye in Moto3, and particularly the performances of Jack Miller? I mean, we know that he's on a bike that certainly has a straight-line speed deficiency, but he's having a really good season, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, and we've sort of got our fingers crossed that Honda will, you know, realise what he's bringing to the table with their bike and maybe provide a little something extra that can go toe-to-toe with the KTM bikes, which are clearly the class of that of the field there at the moment. I'm hoping for a great result at the Island, particularly for both the Aussie boys. Jack, we've had on after, not the last race, but the round before. We had him on just to sort of talk about how things were going and the success he's enjoying. He's working damn hard for it. And I think that's the hallmark of any of the Aussies that have succeeded in motorsport, not just in bike racing, but four-wheel and two-wheel. And he's got that hunger, that tenacity, boys, hasn't he? So he's been working hard, and I just hope that the results come his way. He's certainly earned it. And we don't, for a moment, you know, write off Arthur Cecis either. I mean, he's a great story for both of you. I need to go back through the record books, but I want to say many years ago, his mum wrote to us back on the RPM program. We had a segment called 15 Seconds of Fame, and we got this thing through in the post about a young kid who dreamt of one day competing at world championship level, and he was just a little tacker at the time. And when you see him over there now having a crack at it, I just think that's remarkable. I would like to have a real good long chat with him and figure out if he really is on equal terms, just in terms of equipment and stuff in that outfit. But you know, he's a guy that's got a huge amount of talent as well. And we've got to knock these Spaniards off, don't we? It's like someone's got the CD on permanent play when it comes to the national anthem, isn't it? They've done very well in that country with their junior development program, and they are absolutely now right across all classes reaping the rewards of that, aren't they?
Certainly are. Look, Rusty, it's been terrific having a chat tonight. I'm not sure what you're going to do with yourself for 2 weekends. You've actually got two non-F1 and MotoGP weekends, so perhaps some sleep ahead for you. But in the meantime, thanks for joining us, and look forward to chatting with you on the podcast later in the year.
Cheers, boys. Thank you. Nice to catch up.
Upgrade your MotoGP weekend to The Garage. New for 2013 and modelled on the successful Doohan Pavilion, The Garage is an undercover hub to refuel, rest and catch up with mates while enjoying excellent views of the Turn 1 action. Featuring a cash bar and giant screen, The Garage is an affordable way for you to upgrade your MotoGP weekend. Book now at motogp.com.au. Don't forget to like us on Facebook at Australian MotoGP Events. This is Keeping Track, the official podcast of the Australian GP.
Welcome back to Keeping Track. We're heading now to Barcelona, where joining us on the line is Australia's 1987 500cc world champion, Wayne Gardner. G'day, Wayne.
Hi. How are you guys? May I say it's sunny here in Spain and not winter, so it's boiling hot.
Boiling hot, I can imagine, mate, I can imagine. Your thought on this year's MotoGP title, who has really caught your eye, and are you surprised that Marquez has been such a revelation this year?
Well, it has shocked me a little. I know that he's obviously a very talented rider, and he's Spain's new sensation. And I don't doubt his ability, but I'm really surprised how fast he's adapted to a MotoGP bike. And, you know, he still rides, he's still a little erratic, and he takes a lot of risk. But however, he seems to pull it off all the time. He's had some monumental crashes, may I say, this year, but luckily for him, he hasn't been hurt. So in state of play of a championship, I'm really, really surprised how well he's going. And I think it's been a bit of a disaster for, you know, Lorenzo and Pedrosa as well, although Pedrosa has a bit of a history of, you know, these sorts of things. But in general, yeah, I'm very surprised by, obviously, Marquez's progress. It's been incredible.
Of course, Wayne, Marc Marquez came in to take the bike that Casey Stoner vacated at Honda. We now hear that Casey's going to be testing for Honda at Motegi a couple of times in the coming months. Is that something that you saw coming with Casey, given that he stepped away? Did you imagine that he'd be back on a bike so soon?
It took me by surprise. I didn't expect he's want to get back on the bike again. However, from what I hear, and his results in the V8 haven't been particularly stunning, so I guess he's probably a little disillusioned. And, you know, I think he also did the V8s as a replacement for MotoGP bikes. And can I say, you know, obviously I'm well experienced in that area.
Yeah, absolutely.
It will never replace the excitement of riding a Grand Prix bike. So for me, when I drove touring cars, it was a good stopgap, and it was a bit of a stepping down considerably, but it was very frustrating. And there were good cars, and it was a good championship, and I learned a lot. However, it never replaced the thrill of riding a Grand Prix bike, and it never will. In fact, it's very hard to find anything in the world to replace the thrill of riding a Grand Prix bike. So I think Casey was sort of excited to jump into a V8 initially, but I think the novelty's worn off and obviously the results haven't been there. So he's looking for that, you know, that adrenaline rush again. So obviously Honda have come back and thought, well, you know, Pedrosa looked like he's struggling this year and Marquez are doing a good job. So I guess they're covering their bets to try and progress the bike and give a better equipment to Marquez to see if he can win a world title.
Where do you think this is going, though, Wayne? I mean, he retired at 27. It's very young to step away. There's obviously a finite time that you can be away and come back and still be fighting right at the pointy end. Do you think we're looking at some potential wild cards here or, you know, even a full-time return somewhere down the track?
I think what will happen is he'll go out testing for Honda at Motegi or a number of circuits. And if the test goes well and Casey loves it and it's good to be back on a bike, and his lap times are there and he's developing the bike with Honda, I think they'll probably say, well, why don't you go and do a race or two? I guess both of them, both Honda and Casey, are probably just trying to understand, is this what I want, you know, is this what we need to do? So I would say it'll be a step-by-step process and just judge it at each point, you know. But in knowing that, and now knowing that Casey wants to get back on the thing after 6 months or so, I don't think he's lost it overnight. However, the testing in Japan will prove to him and prove to Honda that he's still got the edge, you know, what it takes. But in most cases, people that retire and then they come back, it usually turns into a disaster. But the difference here this time is that obviously Casey's an exceptional talent. But the difference is that he's still only 27 or whatever, young, still relatively young in the sport. Considering that, you know, most guys retire around the 32, 33, even 34 years of age. So he's got time and I don't doubt his ability. And I think that he can come back. I guess it depends if he's liking it or not, you know, and if Honda feel confident enough.
Wayne, we're speaking to you from Spain. You're obviously there because your sons, Remy and Luca, are racing in Spain these days. Can you tell us how they're going this year and what lies ahead for them? What's the career progression from here?
Well, for Remy, this is his third year here. He came over here 2 years ago in 2011. We did a fly-in, fly-out basis with him going to school in Australia, but that took its toll on him and me, flying him here and back and forth. And he finished second in the championship and won one race that year, so he did exceptionally good. Last year we moved over here. It was an ambitious move to bring Remy and Luca here and put them into the system here so that Remy could race at the CEV Championship, which is the top-level Spanish championship. And we struggled last year. We really struggled a lot with, you know, it wasn't so much speed. It was just equipment. Sponsors didn't pay us. Financially, it was a crippling year for me. And we had to miss a couple of races through sponsors not, come out with an agreement and then forfeiting not to pay, which didn't help the cause. And of course, you know, trying to survive in a Spanish society when we don't speak a word of Spanish last year. However, when I look back at the whole picture, it was still worthwhile coming, but it was a real, real battle and a struggle. For Remy this year, he's now with one of the top teams, Team Leglis, which is what Benales is riding in. And he started riding really good. We've only had 3 rounds of the championship, although we had to miss one because Remy, unfortunately, in testing, had a slide through his arm forward, got it caught between the front brake lever and the handlebar and broke his arm over the top of the handlebar, not from a crash. So it was a really unusual. He couldn't get his arm caught inside that little pocket of area there and had to run off the track to try and stop hitting the wall and... but broke his arm prior to the crash and just put the bike down. And anyway, he fractured his arm. So he sat out one of the rounds. In the second race, he was up running in 5th spot at one of the Grand Prix tracks, and his times were incredibly fast. He was down within half a second of the Grand Prix lap record there. And another kid crashed in the side of him and took him out. So he's incredibly fast and going really well, and he's riding a KTM this year.
Now, Wayne, question for you without notice, Wayne, and an honest appraisal here. Do you see any signs in the two boys from your own time on a bike, both good and bad? Be honest with us.
Well, my kids are lucky. You know, I didn't start riding bikes till I was 14. So I was a long way behind the eight ball to what you have to be these days. And, you know, Rem and Luca, well, Luca's also racing in the CMV Championship and actually won one of the rounds this year and running second in the championship. He's had two thirds and a first. So he's going really well. But overall, I think that I can see enormous talent there. And Remy's definitely got the commitment and dedication. So, but that's what you have to do these days. If you want to have a career in this sport, you've got to start at such a young age and you've got to come over here and you've got to, unfortunately, face the toughest competition in the world, and it's right here. I think Remy's got it, and I think that, you know, I'm not being biased from a dad's point of view, but his learning skills are incredibly fast, and now he's on a good bike this year. We're hoping his arm's fine now. He's out surfing and doing everything else. But I think that I think he should have a pretty strong second half of this year. Unfortunately, he missed one race, as I mentioned. But that happens. But this is what you've got to do to be over here. I mean, there's a couple of other Aussies over here, and they said they can't believe how difficult and how hard and how fast the kids are. And, you know, the Australian level out we've got in Australia is just, you know, 4 or 5 seconds off the pace of what these guys are doing here. It's incredibly slow compared to the level here. It's extremely, extremely fast. In fact, you know, the junior series here in Spain are riding at the Grand Prix tracks the same lap times as the Grand Prix riders or under. That's how fast and how challenging this series is.
Yeah, it's definitely a very, very competitive championship. Wayne, how can our listeners follow what how Remy and Luca are going? Is there they got a website or any other forums that
they can follow? Well, they can, that's a very good point. They can look up Tim Gardner Racing on the Facebook page. There's also a website, Tim Gardner Racing, and then there's my Twitter account. It's at Wayne Gardner, which I'm always putting up alerts of what the kids are up to, and not only just racing, but, you know, we're off surfing with a whole bunch of Aussies over here in about a week's time. Over to Biarritz in Spain, and there's a big Aussie contingent over there, so we're going, the kids are going surfing with them. At the moment, the kids are building skateboard ramps, and I'm in a bicycle shop right now. They're buying parts for the jumps, and so everything's all on Facebook and also a website, and obviously you'll get all updates via my at Wayne Gardner on Twitter.
Well, look, Wayne, we look forward to following the exploits of the boys overseas. Thanks very much for joining us on the podcast, and we look forward to seeing how they go in the coming months. Thanks very much for your time.
Thinking about camping at this year's Australian Motorcycle Grand Prix? The two well-equipped campgrounds at the Phillip Island Grand Prix Circuit are able to accommodate everything from simple two-person tents to deluxe motorhomes and feature easy access to the track, a general store and bottle shop, live entertainment on Friday, Saturday and Sunday nights, and the all-important hot showers. It's the full MotoGP experience. Visit MotoGP.com.au to book now. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at AusMotoGP.
And that's all we have time for in this episode of Keeping Track. Don't forget to like the Australian MotoGP event on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at AusMotoGP, and go to MotoGP.com.au, where you'll find a link to a complete archive of all of our shows. Special thanks to our guests Greg Rust and Wayne Gardner, to co-host Mark Vittore and producer Peter Mercado. I'm Matt Clayton. Thanks for listening. Join us next time on Keeping Track.